What's up, partner?
What up, man? What's going on, man? I'm just about to pull up.
Yo, what you pouring already?
I am pouring up some of this Four Roses.
Oh yeah, you bought the
Yeah.
four roses.
Got the Four Roses, got some lemonade.
Okay. That's an
Yeah.
underrated combo.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? My little bootleg homemade version of a whiskey sour.
Whiskey lemonade is just as good. I like a whiskey ginger ale, whiskey iced tea, just like a nice refreshing drink. Did you try the Four Roses on its own?
Yeah,
How'd you like it?
it's pleasant.
Pleasant. Yes, that's a good
Yeah.
word for it.
Yeah, it is. It's very pleasant. It man, let me
Little connoisseur right now.
a
Yes,
little
little
connoisseur right now. It has
some
like
tasting notes.
has this sweetness to it. A very subtle sweetness to it that I like, which is weird because normally I don't like anything too sweet or sweet at all when it comes to alcohol. But it I don't know, it complements the natural flavor of the whiskey so well that I don't really mind it. And then
There you go.
it mixes very well with other things. So if you're ever trying to make a cocktail of some sort or whatever the case may be, a mixed drink, that's the one to go with. The Four Roses, if you're trying to look for a whiskey to mix with, you know what I'm saying? Like what I'm doing right now, pouring this lemonade.
Lemonade. I try not to be too much of a whiskey snob, even though I'm well versed in it. At least
Yeah.
I like to consider myself well versed in it. But I would say I have, like, when you called me and asked about whiskey, that's why I had so many questions. I'm like, what are you doing with it? What's the price range? Like, what's the vibe? Like, because there's so many different avenues with whiskey you can take. Like, I have certain brands that are like, I'll never mix them with anything, and certain ones that I only exclusively mix them up. So it definitely depends on the kind of party you're having, but for a just a nice relaxing whiskey lemonade, whiskey sour, yeah, Four Roses is a very versatile whiskey, I'll put it that way.
Hell yeah, I definitely agree. And shout out to you for putting me on. Well, I'll
Absolutely.
get into it later. I'll get into it later.
Oh boy, I'm
When the
gonna say
time
I
comes, when the
want
time
to know,
comes.
there's gotta be a story behind it, I'm sure, but how's everything else going?
Well, it's not too much of a story. I just made a slight pivot in the schedule that we had planned out tonight. That's all it
Oh,
is. That's all it is.
I
But man, shit. It's been cool, man. I just been shit lately, just been working, you know. Nothing too crazy going on, which is fine because I don't need nothing crazy to happen right now.
Oh, I know that's right.
But
I'm the same way myself, just keeping it low.
I actually had a premonition,
Oh, okay. Spill.
or more so like I don't know what to call it, man. I just so one day I was at work. I think this was Monday, actually. Monday when I was at work,
Okay. Of
shift was over, went in my car, hit the bowl.
course.
And then I just started thinking to myself, like, what do I actually want to do for the rest of my life?
Oh, you got deep into it, huh?
Yeah. And I was like deep in my thoughts, and I was pondering off into space, thinking about what I really actually love and what I would do for the rest of my life. Like, what is practical? What can I do day in and day out and not get sick of? And I just want to watch sports, talk about the shit, and write about the shit.
Interesting. Like writing a book or more like
Articles,
articles? Like, okay. ESPN
breakdowns of
style.
games, yeah, type shit. Yes, I
Yeah.
remember in seventh grade, I used to just read the little newspaper articles about the sports section. I just throw the rest of them away and just read the sports. Yeah, fuck
You're not missing anything else in the rest of the news. It's fine.
the world.
Right. Yeah. Fuck all that.
Yeah. And so I was, or I am, I say all that to say I am strongly considering going back to school for journalism.
Okay.
And like actually like going deep into this and still keep, obviously it'll be good for the pod too.
I mean,
But
clearly, yeah. We could
yeah.
definitely use some journalistic credibility on the show. We have
Right?
zero
Zero.
credibility.
Zero. But yeah, see, it's not about what you know, it's about who you know. You know what I mean?
Ooh, I know
And
that.
even though, I mean, your boy knows a couple of things about basketball.
Couple things.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not gonna get the notoriety. I feel like we're not going to get the notoriety that we deserve just because of that alone. You know what I mean?
Just not knowing people yet.
Just
That's
not knowing people, just not having a fucking piece of paper that says, "Look, I went to school."
right. That's
And
that's a whole sore spot for me.
I mean, if you've known anything about me, I might have said this shit on the pod before, but like, I'm totally against the education system. Like, I think it's one of the most flawed and scammed things ever created in this fucked up ass country.
Absolutely true.
I can go down a whole different rabbit hole for that another day, because I know we got a whole pack scheduled today. But end of the story, like, man, yeah, like, I'm actually really considering, like, my sister just graduated college. I don't know if that inspired me.
Yeah, sparked something a little bit.
She graduated from Marquette, and Marquette has a great journalism school.
That is true. Very true.
So I'm thinking of there. I'm thinking, I don't want to go too far away, but I'm thinking, I'm thinking Marquette.
Just somewhere where you can take care of business and kind of still be in your vibe in your area. So, yeah, no, I like that a lot. You know, I've always told you, like, when it comes to, like, acting, voice acting, just like that kind of thing, like, I could see you doing that. But something along these lines, I could totally see you doing this too. Like, especially the sports, like, putting you on screen for something like ESPN or Bleacher Report. I see some of these scrubs get these gigs where they're doing the same thing we're doing. They're just talking heads about very specific subjects or specific teams or markets. And I kind of go, like, who hired you? Like, no, I'm not trying to be a hater all the time. You know, I'm always a hater, but, like, I'm not always trying to be a hater. But a lot of times, like, the takes they have, I'm like, you got paid for that take. And I don't get who found you. Where did they find you? Who do you know? I think it's about who you know. It's like you're saying. It
has to be. And at the same time, it's like they must be telling you what to say. Because I know damn well you don't believe this shit.
No, God, no.
Like, why the hell would you say some shit like that? You know damn well you don't believe that shit.
I don't know where they get off with that shit, but yeah, I could definitely see you up there next to Shaq inside the NBA. There you go. Just put you behind a table, and there you go. I think that's your natural element. So let's manifest it. Let's make it happen. Well, we can find out if we have a connection with ESPN somewhere down our trees here.
Man, you'll be my editor.
Oh God.
So I'll be like, you know, if you need to get in contact with me, you know, hit up my editor. You know what I'm saying?
Editor, I'm not your agent. I'm just kind of fixing up so you don't look like a moron when you talk for a while. That's all. That's what editors do. The agents and all the other shit. But I would be a much better editor than an agent, so I'm good with that. There was a time where I thought I would be an English major and have an English degree, and then someone goes, so are you trying to be an English teacher? And you go, no, not really. They go, that's really all you can do with an English degree. So I pivoted to business. But once once that was explained to me, that you really just, it's not the good old days. I shouldn't even say the good old days, but the old days, you know, the 50s and 60s where print media was all the rage and getting a newspaper job and a journalism job was like hot shit. You know, now it's like, unless you are in, you know, a TMZ or something, it's hard to break in and make something of yourself in that kind of medium. So there's got to be somebody we know that can open the door for you. Like, know a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy who knows a barber, something like that.
Obviously we're thinking a little far ahead, but I really just want to get this plan in motion first. Cause I know like I'll figure that shit out when it comes.
Of course.
It's weird. Like, I don't want to sound like I'm fucking big headed and shit, but but like, I just have a feeling this shit is gonna work.
Yeah,
and I know, like, I'm gonna be ffucking the Hmong Asian Stephen A. Smith and shit. You know,
like, I mean, shit, there's a space for it. We do need it. That representation's not out there yet.
Man, I think, man, I just there's a few things in everyone's life or everyday activities, there's just something everyone does that they just know deep down in their hearts, like, can't nobody fuck with me when it comes to this. You know what I mean? And like, we're not gonna, you know, well, I might, but people aren't gonna come out and just, you know, openly say shit like that and boast about it, but it's in the back of their heads, and you know, they know. And if you know, you know. But if you don't, you know, you're gonna find out.
You're gonna learn today.
And that's how I feel about, like, this quote unquote space, so to say. I feel like man, all I need is a piece of paper, and that will, unfortunately, in this country, that will propel me to places where I want to be.
True. Very true. Man, you got to live the dream somehow, man. So if that's what you are waking up every day thinking about, that's what you're supposed to be. I learned that from Sister Act. Remember Sister Act?
Yeah.
Fucking love those movies, man. But Sister Act 2, that's what she said. Like, she said, if you, I'm going to butcher that saying. She's like, if you wake up in the morning and all you can think about is singing, you're supposed to be a singer. So it's like, same thing with you. If you're waking up thinking about journalism and going toe to toe with Stephen A. Smith, that's what you're supposed to be doing. So it's just that simple.
It's more so just, man, just being able to just watch the games and tell stories about the game from
yes,
the
sir.
correct, in my opinion, the correct perspective. Because
the correct ones.
Yes, because the everything that's out nowadays is all for clicks and shit like that. And
it's all about the streams, all about the numbers, man.
Yeah, and you know me, I'm always watch the game, don't follow narratives type of shit. So.
Right. That's... Which is kind of the basis for this show. How we came up with this was we wanted our own platform just because we're so used to the talking heads and the clickbait and all this shit trying to just get people to talk, even if the opinions are ridiculous. So for us, this was an opportunity for us to just say, hey, here's what the real opinion should be. Here's what we really see it as. And then if people, you know, vibe with it, they do. If they don't, hey, no big deal. But at least you get it out there in some medium somehow, you know. It's better than just shouting into the endless void like I used to do. So I'll take this version over anything else.
Yeah. I mean, I love it.
Hell yeah. We're just going to keep it rocking. That's how we do. And we can do it any way we want to on this show. So you don't have to worry about ESPN breathing on your neck. At least now. I'm not saying that's a bad problem. That'd be a good problem to have if we had bosses at ESPN telling us what to do with this show. But until then, I'm cool just throwing shit against the wall and seeing what sticks.
Hey. I'm with the shits.
Exactly.
I like cussing whenever I want to. You know what I'm saying?
Dude.
I like talking however the fuck I want to talk. So it's like.
I couldn't do a show if I couldn't cuss. I'm sorry. Sorry to everybody. Sorry, mom. Sorry, whoever's listening. Sorry to the kids. I wouldn't be able to do a show if I can't cuss. I got to be able to drop a fuck whenever I need to.
Yeah, whenever the fuck I want.
Whenever the fuck I want. It accentuates my point if I drop an F-bomb in the middle of it. That's how it works, people. If I'm not cussing, it means I don't really feel it. It's not in my heart. Sound of my soul.
I know how you do it too. I know how you say it.
Oh, you're yeah.
Like, fucking something.
Like put the stank on it. Yes.
Yeah.
Or my patented thank the fuck Christ. I love that. I love that.
Yeah. That's one of your all time most fucking popular sayings ever. Thank the fuck Christ.
Should put that on a t-shirt or something. Whenever we get a market for this fucking show, that's going to be one of the t-shirts I make.
Just Christ. Wait. It's going to happen. Yeah.
It's going to happen. Bit.
We're going to have
bit
that. We're going to have a gawk gawk.
Hell yeah. That's the first one. I want that on a hat. I want that on a hat. Gawk, I can already visualize it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So much we can do. And we'll do it for you people and just give us time and money. You know, we need money for that shit. Otherwise, just time and we'll get it going. That's how we do.
Money would be very nice.
Money would be lovely, but you know, we don't need tips just yet. We'll get there though. Speaking of getting there, I think it's time to start the show. What do you think?
Let's get it. Cue the music.
Cueing the music.
1, 2, 3.
I should have poured something else myself, but I guess we'll wait for the results that we're going to have in just a few minutes before I start drinking, because I'm going to assume I got shots coming my way because that's how my luck goes. But in the meantime, let's welcome our fans back to the Bank Bro Show. Welcome back. We're glad you have returned to our warm and loving embrace. Thank you for pushing play. I am Siege. As always, that's your humble host, Rizzy. So nothing's changed with us. We're still here. We're still hot and popping and clicking and moving and making things happen on this show. Today, a little bit more NBA because, again, that's really the big sport going on right now, and we'll get into a little bit of that. And I wanted to start with what we had going on last week, which was our fantasy Madden team game, I guess you want to call that. You didn't give the game a name, so it's just kind of a hodgepodge. But essentially last week we both picked Madden teams. Rizzy here was going to put into the Madden machine and run it through the simulations, and it's going to be my ridiculously loaded offense versus his ridiculously Hall of Fame level defense, and kind of see who wins and how the results would go. We take shots based on that. So I know this man has results hot and ready in his hands. How did it go with our respective teams, sir?
All right. So I'll go game by game. How about that? Because we were in a 7-game series. I'll go game by game, quick recaps of both.
I like it.
Right. So, obviously, CJ has a ridiculously loaded offense. I mean, like Josh Allen, Ja'Marr Chase, Davante Adams. Okay.
Chris Olave. Yes.
Chris Olave. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Nasty.
And Hunter Henry's bum ass.
I know, right? Oh, God.
All right. So, game one, CJ's team comes out and just waxes the floor with my team, 34-17.
Mm.
Josh Woo! Allen. Josh Allen went for 4 touchdowns. Nice. I think Davante caught 3.
Oh, man.
I think
that sounds
that's
about right.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Second game, a little closer. CJ's team wins 28-24.
Okay, I like
Josh
the
Allen still had a good game. Josh Allen accounted for every one of the touchdowns.
That's
so
my
he
boy.
He threw for 2, and he ran for 2.
Okay, nice. Very
so
nice.
So in 2 games, he's accounted for, what, 8 touchdowns?
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, side note, my quarterback was, drum roll, Jameis Winston.
Oh, yes. Oh, crab legs himself. I love it.
I did not draft him. These were all auto-drafted players. All right.
Oh, man. Yeah,
after round 15, it was all auto-drafted, and it was Jameis Winston. And I think I had, like, Robbie Chosen as a receiver. Who else did I have? I think I had DJ Chark.
Oh, and, man.
I had – oh, wait. No, I think – I forgot who my other receiver was, but I remember DJ Chark and Robbie Chosen.
That's your 1 and 2 then. Oh, man. That is,
hey, man.
That is tough sledding, tough sledding.
Hey, man, although those were my 3.
Yep.
I won game 3.
Hey, all right.
This was a blowout. My team won 30-10.
What the fuck?
Mainly because of my defense. Shout out to Devin Witherspoon. He recovered a fumble and had a pick 6.
Fucking hell.
Next
typical
game.
Typical Josh Allen game.
He
never fails.
Throws for like 400 yards, but 3 picks.
Exactly. Never fucking fails.
All right. Next game, very low scoring game. My team, pause, pulls this one out again.
Oh! Okay,
very
then.
Low scoring defensive game. My team wins 17-14.
Oh, what the fuck?
Shout out to Jameis Winston for the game-winning touchdown.
Come on, man.
Game-winning touchdown to Robbie Chosen, baby. Let's go.
That would never happen. That would never fucking happen. Oh, God. Fucking figures.
So right now, series is tied 2-2. Going 2-2. Into game 5,
okay.
We have another very close game. A little higher scoring, but my team wins this one again.
24-21.
24-21. Good thing for you, Josh Allen, again, accounted for all 3 of your touchdowns. Threw for 1.
Not getting the win,
2.
Though. Need to get the win, bro. Where's the dub?
And then in this game, Max Crosby had 5 sacks.
Jesus. Okay, that explains that.
Yeah, that does it. Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, your left tackle is Ekwonu.
Yeah, I know. My line is so trash.
So, I think Max Crosby was just destroying him. Obviously, I just simmed the games. I didn't watch it, but
right.
It said Max Crosby, 5 tackles, 3 TFLs. So, he pretty much dominated that.
Horrible game on the line, yep.
Hey, game 6, your team pulls this one out.
Hey, all right.
So this game, or this series does go 7 games.
Oh, shit.
And your team wins this low-scoring game 13-7. And this time, Chris Olave catches a game-winning touchdown.
That's my boy. All right.
Yeah. And Jameis Winston throws 4 picks in that one.
Typical Jameis Winston game, yes.
Typical Winston. Throws a game winner, throws 4 picks. Typical Jameis.
Perfect.
In game 7, drum roll, please.
Oh, God.
You think you won?
No.
You actually are right, because you did not win.
Damn it!
This was a very close game. Again, this was like Super Bowl worthy.
Son of a bitch.
You scored 17 points.
That's a pattern.
Davante caught 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
My team scored 21 points.
Off of defense?
This is going to surprise you. Jameis threw 3 touchdowns, but he also threw 3 picks.
What the fuck? Who is he throwing to?
Obviously,
Chosen destroying us.
Robbie Chosen and DJ Chark. They had
who the fuck?
So Chosen had two touchdowns and Chark had one.
I must have had the most bum ass defense drafted all time.
Not even joking. You had Amani Oruwariye
as a corner.
And then I forgot who your other corner was, but your defensive end was your boy Leonard Floyd.
Really?
That was like that was your best edge rusher.
That's my best edge. Great.
That was your best edge rusher.
Yeah, that makes total sense then. Motherfucker. I'm glad we got to seven games, but motherfucker.
So this is you take one shot. That's it.
I'll take my one. That's fair. I can't believe you know what? I'm not even surprised. Because I was elated about that offense. But knowing your defensive picks, I was just like, it doesn't even matter. I can have the best receivers on the board. With that defense, I'm still going to get smoked when it comes to fucking picks. I just cannot.
I think
that's
it's
my,
just the
curse.
It's I think it's just the man. Line.
Yeah, man.
Cause,
the offensive line let me down completely.
Because in Madden, it's like your team scored a lot. Like early in the series, I assume the O-line held up decently, and that's
right.
pretty much why. And I like you said, Max Crosby had 5 sacks one game. So,
son of a bitch.
All right,
well,
cheers.
I'll
take a
shot.
Sip of my drink,
cheers.
too.
Cheers. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Now.
That was a much bigger shot than it needed to be.
Oof. Did you want to draft again now or later?
Let's draft at the end
All
of
right,
the show.
Let's get it. I like it. I
Give
was
us
leaning
some
the
more.
same way.
Yeah. That'd be nice. Nice little preview for next week too.
Oh yeah.
In the meantime, we can keep this on a football because there's a little bit of news that came out, pretty controversial, that I wanted to discuss a little bit. We don't want to give the man too much time because he showed his whole ass. So you know we gotta be careful about how much time we dedicate to this man. But for a lot of people who have not been following, and I'm not gonna say living under a rock just because. It was big news, but if you didn't hear it, I can't blame you. It's why the fuck would you follow this man's knowledge and his news for anything? But there's a man named Harrison Butker. And if you're not a football fan, he is the kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's a multiple-time champion with them and really great kicker. Not going to lie, as a player, you know, he's really held up for the Chiefs. And you can't say that about a lot of kickers. There's only a handful that are legends in the making, you know, or long-term Hall of Famers. The kicker position, the punter position, doesn't get there very often. So Harrison Butker is, you know, pretty solid name when it comes to that. And because of his notoriety, he was allowed to do a commencement speech at, I'm not sure if he went to this college, but it was I don't think he did. It's a Catholic college called Benedictine College. And Harrison went on and, you know, Ryan and I both listened to this speech and there's a lot of controversy about it for the things that he said. And at the beginning, you know, cooking with a little gas. And then after that, it turned into a hodgepodge of misogynistic, racist, homophobic rhetoric that, frankly, I'm not going to sit here and even repeat a bunch of what shit he said. But there's a few things that I would point out just so people are aware of it. But I want to know your opinions on everything he said and how you handled it, how it came across. And a couple of things that I'll bring up were a few mistakes he made. There's a lot he said, and I'll leave it to our fans to look up his speech, make opinions for yourself. We're not here to tell you how to think. You know, it is what it is. But anybody with a soul or a brain will listen to the words he said and go, wow, he's got a very old, white, biblical way of looking at the world. My thing is, number one, I'm not sure if people are surprised. He's at a Catholic college talking to Catholic people.
And he's Catholic himself.
He's very Catholic himself. I'm not sure how many Catholic people you may know, but that part of the religion is quite strict. It's quite traditional. It's quite old. It's one of the oldest institutions on the planet. So I'm not surprised that these are his opinions. And I'm not saying that I don't know if he's always had these opinions or he just feels a certain way around certain people because, you know, he's got black teammates and he's got teammates that are, you know, they are what they are. So for him to be alienating a lot of different human groups was something. And then he's out here quoting Taylor Swift because
what did he refer to her as?
He referred to her as his teammate's girlfriend. That by itself, and I said, it's you. I said, if he said nothing else, if you infuriate the Swifties, bro, that's a wrap. it's a wrap. So calling her, not even using her name, and then trying to use the context of one of her songs in the same breath that you are telling women that they should probably just stay in the kitchen, that the accomplishments they just made are okay, they're good, they're even great. And I bet you some of you will be excited about a career. And then he goes, most of you, though, are looking forward to having kids and settling down. And wow, I don't know how you fumble as a football player so badly, especially
as
for
a kicker.
I was going to say, yeah, he beat me to it. I was like, especially as in a position where you're just kicking the ball. How do you fumble this bad? How do you feel about some of the shit he said in this speech, man? Because it's nuts. The backlash he's getting is crazy.
No, I think he deserves all the backlash, to be honest with you.
He absolutely deserves it. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to say the amount is still crazy to see.
Yeah.
But he absolutely had it coming.
It is crazy, though. Yeah, but definitely, like, you got people who don't even watch football signing a petition for him to get cut.
Exactly.
So, man, and honestly, all that's warranted. I don't think he should be, you know, losing his job over this. He did it off the clock on his own time.
Right.
So it's like, should he lose his job? Probably not. I think that's a little far-fetched, but the hate is damn near warranted because he said a lot of shit in here that should have been left back in like the 1970s and 60s and 50s type shit.
Yep.
Because the world has evolved. Regardless of how you feel about the LGBTQ community, like, there are just some things as a human being that you should just, how should I say this? You should just respect. Like, someone's sexuality is not going to affect the way you pay your bills.
Oof. Nope.
So whether you agree with the way that they're living or not, it's really not up to you. So for him to say that he said something about sins, right? And then he said, oh, but not the what do you say? Not the
I literally have it right here.
What did he say?
He said, I am certain the reporters at AP cannot have imagined that their attempt to rebuke and embarrass places and people like those here at Benedictine wouldn't be met with anger, but instead met with excitement and pride, not the deadly sin sort of pride that is an entire month dedicated to it, but the true God-centered pride that is cooperating with the Holy Ghost. What? He called him out directly.
So they're all going to go to hell.
Clearly.
They're all just terrible people because they are what they are, right?
The irony of him saying something like that when you literally work for an organization that also has a Pride Month. They do the rainbow everything during Pride Month. Like, NFL is trying so hard to be diverse and inclusive, especially in the last like decade or so. Like, you work for that company. And I know the NFL already came out and was like, he doesn't speak for us. We don't vibe with everything he said. NFL came out so fast and said, this guy ain't one of us. He's not one of ours, even though he is. But that's the thing is, I don't know how you say some shit like that and not expect just a ocean of backlash. Like, what world are you living in, man? I don't get that.
Oh, you know what kind of world he's living in. He's living in a privileged, you know, brought up in a very traditional religious household. Grandfather was probably a Mason. Like that. You know what I mean?
I can definitely see it.
Yeah.
Another thing he said that tripped me out when he was talking with women about their place in the home.
Oh, and he's my God.
And he's like, oh, you know, if you ask my wife, she'll say, like, her life didn't even really start until she met me and, you know, became a homemaker and the mother of my children. Number one, let's look at some facts here. Dude met his wife in middle school, people. Middle school.
No perspective.
They were in the band. So you mean that girl that you met in middle school, her life didn't start until y'all got married? That's kind of crazy. Also, hey, you know what makes it very easy to be a homemaker? Making $5 million a year being a kicker kind of makes living at home and not having to worry about shit a little simple. Just saying. So, yeah, I bet if you do ask her, she's pretty fucking happy. It's because you're making millions. Yeah, that's kind of how that works, bro. And when you stop making your millions, guess what? Your body isn't going to be broken after a 15-year NFL career because you're a kicker. You're going to be in tip-top shape, ready to live out the rest of your life. And again, this isn't a knock on his career. Good for you. If that's what you decided to do and you pursued it, hey, you got a few Super Bowl rings from it, great. But for him to try to blanket statement that as if this is how it should be for all women is so asinine. And I will circle back to it. And you also brought the Swifties in on that argument. That's the argument. That's the hill you chose to die on. Death by Swiftie. Come on, bro.
You can't say all that about women and then try to quote the women's hero.
Thank you. You're quoting the one example. I shouldn't even say one example. One of the biggest examples of a self-made woman who didn't decide to just stay in the kitchen. She went on a complete tear and is a billionaire now with the most influence I think I've ever seen a woman have on this planet. So, like, Taylor Swift could snap and her people will throw over a country for her. Tell me I'm wrong. Guaranteed. Yeah, at the drop of a dime. They will, they'll take over, they'll kick Putin out of Russia for Taylor Swift if she really wanted it. That's all I'm saying. They have that kind of power. So if we really wanted to end the war, we have the firepower for it. So anyway.
To go along with that, I just wanted to add.
Yeah.
So I sent this video, the video of Booker's speech to Kelly Rowland.
I asked
Kelly Rowland what she thought. And she watched it and wrote me back. She said, "I don't like him." That's all she said.
That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. That's his, I don't understand. I don't get why he chose this time to show his whole ass. Like, I could see if this was like leading up to this speech. And I read some comments from people saying he's done another commencement speech in the past for another religious school. And it was around the same kind of speech too. So I guess there are certain people in that realm that already understands this is who he is and who he's always been. Yeah. I just don't know why this speech, all of a sudden, his whole ass, like, just word vomit. I agreed with what he was saying about the religious part of things, like calling people hypocrites if you're Catholic, but also saying you're pro-choice. And I believe you agree with me on that one too. So I understand Catholicism, and it's like, you know, you are on a path. If you are following that religion, like, that is a very structured religion. There's a very set rule, you know, guidelines, and that's it. So everybody who's a hypocrite, like I said to you, it's one of my biggest reasons I'm not religious is because of the hypocrisy of religious people. So I agree with him on that. He should call out his religion for that. And then he should have walked off the podium. That's it. Walk away from the stage. Have a good night, guys. Congratulations. That's it. It's everything else. And we won't even get into the abortion is murder thing. People who use, you know, in vitro fertilizations are going to hell. And a lot of other shit that he said that we could really dive into, but it's nasty enough. And again, I don't want to give the man too much of our time, but yeah, look up the speech, people. It's eye-opening because to me, I go, he's just the one saying it out loud.
Yeah, imagine everyone else who feels the same way he does, which are all the people that keep inviting him to these Catholic schools to give these speeches during these commencements.
Thank you. Thank you. Not to mention quite a few men in that room that he's speaking to probably were nodding in agreement. Like, this brother's spitting fire. He's spitting truth. Those are facts. Like, there are many people. Exactly. Standing ovation and shit. So that's the part that scares me. It's like, yeah, he's saying it on the microphone. How many of them are sitting there thinking it right next to these women?
Outside of this commencement.
Exactly. That's some scary shit. We're in trouble, folks. Don't let Booker ruin your season. I'm very curious to see how he's going to be received back at Arrowhead. Because I don't think he's losing his job from this, people. Maybe a sponsorship here and there. He might cost himself some money somewhere. I don't know if he even has... Do kickers have shoe deals?
I'm sure they do.
Maybe somewhere down, maybe with Asics or something.
Booker has three Super Bowls, so I'm sure he has something.
If anybody's got a sponsorship deal as a kicker, it's Harrison Booker. So I can see him losing out on some connections like that, but I don't see him losing his job over this. However, the crowd noise for whenever he comes out to kick is going to be quite interesting. That's what I'm going to watch. I know NFL's like, come on, man. Like, they just got Taylor here. Like, come on, man. Don't scare the girls away already. We just got them. Goodell's probably pissed off. Good Lord. But anyway, that's enough NFL news. Let's switch back over to the NBA because, again, that's all on our TV screens, morning, noon, and night, because these playoffs are fucking crazy, and they're getting crazier by the day, folks. Every time I see a game, I'm just like, I just don't know which way it's coming. We're over here doing predictions and trying to use our best judgment, but this shit is still nuts. My God. Conference semifinals just wrapped up. They had two game sevens this past Sunday, so your boy here was chilling all day long. I had the fucking wings. I had the snacks. I was ready to go. I was leaving my couch, and I was barely putting on pants that day because all I wanted to do was sit and watch game sevens. And I want to talk about how both these games went, what you think, your thoughts on how it all went down. Let's start with the Pacers and the Knicks. How did game seven go for you?
Well, the refs couldn't fuck this one up.
I heard that a lot.
You can't rig injuries, and the Knicks just ran out of gas.
Ugh.
Their best players got hurt.
Yep.
Fucking Josh Hart, I think, had like KT tape all around his abs and ribs and shit. Dante
literally
DiVincenzo,
holding it together.
Yeah. Dante DiVincenzo, I forgot what happened to him, but he got hurt.
He got banged up.
And then Jalen Brunson broke his left hand, and he's a lefty.
That's crazy. That was nuts.
So, I mean, you can't really do anything about that if you're a Knicks fan.
Yep.
You just chalk that one up and just move on to next season. I mean, if I'm a Knicks yep. fan, I'm feeling very optimistic about the squad that I have.
Yes.
Because even without Julius Randle, even without multiple players that are within their eight-man rotation that were lost due to injuries, they still made it to the second round of the playoffs.
Right.
They beat a tough Philly team. They had this Indiana Pacers team on the ropes. Had it not been
Absolutely.
For the injuries, they would have won.
I think so.
So if I'm a Knicks fan, I'm very optimistic. Now on the flip side, Pacers fans should still celebrate this as if it's any other trip to the Eastern Conference Finals, because this was well earned. They could have easily laid over and let the Knicks just sweep them.
True.
But, you know, Nembhard hit a game winner. Pacers came out and they showed why they are still one of the best offensive teams to ever play.
That's right.
By the numbers. This Indiana Pacers team showed a lot of grit and a lot of heart, and they still earned every bit of this victory. Don't get me wrong. They also showed they cannot guard anybody.
I was waiting for the other shoe to drop. Woo, yeah.
They can score a lot of points. They can score with the best of them. They can hit tough shots. They can go to Siakam in the post and get tough buckets. Miles Turner, he can dunk on you one play, next play pick and pop and hit a three. So they got multiple ways to score. But their issue is that they just can't stop anymore.
No.
And it's going to get exposed this series against Boston.
He already did. Yep. That shit was fucking crazy, dude. And you're absolutely right, because Pacers definitely, the first two games, this could have been done. This could have been over. They were down 0-2. Then they had to win four out of the next five games to punch their ticket to the Eastern Conference Final against the Celtics. And I like what you said. Offensively, they had to show this. This was actually like a historic performance from the Pacers. They shot the lights out. So, yeah, they beat the Knicks. It was the biggest field goal percentage in NBA playoffs history. That's
they shot,
insane.
What, 70-something percent?
67.1% from the fucking field. That's bananas. That's bananas. Knicks, yeah, they played gutsy. They played with their heart. But, you know, I know Brunson. I know the injuries. Brunson wasn't even having that great of a day before he got hurt. I mean, it was 6-for-17, 17 points. I mean, they were fighting, but Pacers were just, I hate saying pacing, but they were setting the pace here for a while. Then it all kind of started falling apart, and then Knicks really fell apart. So, but the Pacers here, that shooting range, that shooting clip was just outstanding. Outstanding win. I don't think it's going to carry them with Boston. I think Boston, and like you said in game one already, Boston's not the kind of fucking team to play with. And you can't have the historic performance you had against the Knicks and try to do that every single night against the fucking Boston Celtics. They're not going to let you. Defensively, this is not the same fucking team as the Knicks. They just aren't. So the Celtics have the all-world defense to shut that shit down. It was a tough game in game one, but Boston still got it done in game one. Pacers, and we won't get into game one necessarily. There's a few mistakes they made too, especially their coach, but that's the thing is Boston, you got to kill Boston to beat them. So
yeah.
I don't see them going that much further than this, but for this game against the Knicks, I was thoroughly impressed. when it comes to the shooting. For the Knicks, I'm still a hater, but they've earned a lot of respect this season. At the beginning of the year, I said I saw what the Knicks did last playoffs. I expected them to carry the momentum into this season, and then having a much better showing this round, I was right. They showed a lot more heart this time around. I still think they're missing pieces. It's still the Knicks. They're still cursed. They still need some better shooting, but Brunson, superstar. Pieces they got, I'm loving the growth from DiVincenzo, from Josh Hart. I'm loving the growth I'm seeing. So these guys are taking the next step. I don't know who you add. Again, we can speculate on that shit all day. But they showed they turned a corner with this squad. So I'm interested to see him now. Again, I'm going to hate. I'm still going to talk my shit. But, okay, Knicks, I'm starting to get it. I'm starting to see the old Knicks come out, where the old successful ones, not the old shitty ones. The old successful, old MSG Knicks, it's starting to come back a little bit. It's starting to be kind of cool to be a Knicks fan again. So congrats on that. But you still got a lot of work to do. This one fell apart for him. Speaking of things falling apart, let's talk about the other game seven with the Denver Nuggets and the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Mm.
How did that go, sir? Mm.
This one was every bit of a chess match.
Yes.
That you could ever think of. So Denver came out sparking.
Oof.
Like, they were locking it down on defense. Ant was having a poor shooting night.
Mm-hmm.
Offensively, everybody was getting touches. Jokic was doing what Jokic does. Murray scored most of his points in the first half. I think he had like 20 in the first half, 20 something, mm-hmm. or like close to it.
I believe so.
Second half came around. I don't know if it was the Nuggets adjusting, or I don't know if it was the Nuggets getting complacent and going away from what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was a little bit of both, because mm-hmm. in the second half, the Nuggets went to the same action over and over again. It was a two-man game with Murray and Jokic. Just Murray and Jokic, no one else. Everybody else was cleared out to the weak side corner, so they emptied out the right side. And I kept thinking, this shit is so predictable. Minnesota's just going to stay at home, funnel the ball, get back, double Jokic, and that's it. Minnesota was forcing tough shots. Minnesota was forcing missed shots. Minnesota got out, ran in transition. Anthony Edwards was amazing in the second half defensively. He shut down Jamal Murray. Karl Anthony Towns held down the fort offensively. He, in my opinion, impressed me most in this series, because when they needed it most, when Ant was off on offense for whatever reason, Cat showed up.
Absolutely.
And Cat played extremely well on Jokic defensively throughout this entire series. Rudy Gobert, on the other hand, was getting fucking cooked.
Yes, he was.
So how can you be the defensive player of the year if you, on your own team, can't even shut down the other team's best player who plays the same position as you?
Still don't get it.
Still don't understand it. But hey, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Timberwolves, they advance. I know we said, or I said, Nuggets would win this series still. I think you said
I did too. Yep.
You said the same. Wouldn't feel any differently about it now than I did yesterday. I still think the Denver Nuggets, although they lost, I think they're still the better team.
I think so.
They just didn't play up to their best potential, so to say, because they stopped sharing the ball. And they went to the same two-man game, dribble handoff with Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic. Now, if you remember last week, I said when they started running that shit with Jokic and Aaron Gordon, that is when you kind of, you know, you instead of moving the pawn, you move the knight or the rook or whatever the case may be.
That's throwing a
wrinkle in the offense that kind of throws the defense off guard because they're not really expecting it.
Right.
None of that happened.
Nope.
None of that. So, Denver Nuggets, this loss, if I'm a Nuggets fan, is completely on you, and I'm totally devastated because that was a game you could have won and should have
won. Absolutely, yes. I did not see Timberwolves winning that fucking game. I'm going to admit something right now on the show. I turned the shit off at halftime. Yep.
Yo, no lie, 80% of my friends in the group chat did.
This is a fucking wrap. Denver was just annihilating Minnesota, and the point I was just like, this is a wrap. This is done. I'm not missing anything. So I turned it off. I watched some nuts. I fell asleep on the couch. Checked my phone when I woke up. Like, oh, what the fuck? And looked at the score. I was like, oh, yeah, I wonder how much Denver bust their ass by. And then I saw that Minnesota came fucking flying back at them to win this 98-90. I was stunned. I had no clue that Minnesota had the comeback gene just like this. And like you said, this was cat. This was all cat. 23 points, 12 boards, 2 steals, and a block. This is a team effort. I'm liking what I see on the defense. I had to go back and kind of watch the second half of that game. But the defense and the bench really showed up for Minnesota in the second half here. And like you said, I don't know about the adjustments or something, but on the Denver side, I think they got a little shook here. It just the shooting started coming across for Minnesota, and the defensive efforts really started shutting Jokic down, and that was all she wrote for the champion. So, yeah, I was as shocked as anybody else. I did not see it coming. Good for you, Minnesota. That makes this pretty fucking interesting moving forward, because now who's left? It's Minnesota and who is it?
The Mavericks, my Mavericks.
Mavericks, that's right. So that's an interesting series. Yeah, you're Mavericks. I mean, I know you're all about the Mavericks right now, and I mean, Mavericks won game one, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
No, they're playing right now.
They're playing right now. Okay, cool.
I was watching the game earlier. It was a great back-and-forth game. Kyrie was getting it going. Luka was doing his thing. Right now, the Mavericks are up by 2.
Okay, not bad. Oh, I see. Yeah. Oh, 1 minute left and up by 2. Okay. So we're real close here, but hey, that's going to be a very interesting series. I'm liking the matchup here.
Well, it's already going on, but
yeah.
I'm interested to see, and I've already saw, if or how the Timberwolves guard Luka and Kyrie in the pick and roll. Mm. Are they going to blitz? Are they going to be in drop? What are they going to do? In my opinion, either way, they're completely fucked. And that's why the Mavericks are going to win this series. In game one already, from what I've seen, when they're in drop, Luka manipulates the defense, gets a bucket. Every single time they're in drop coverage. Same with Kyrie. Luka has 31 right now. Kyrie has 28.
I see it.
Just you know, perspective. And on the flip side, when they blitz, Luka's making the right passes, and so is Kyrie. Luka and Kyrie have combined for 12 assists this game.
Mm, damn.
And Lively and Gafford, you know, great hands, dunk, finish above the rim. But on the flip side, Minnesota's tough too.
Absolutely.
Like, they're going to make them work. I'm not going to say this is going to be a sweet series for the Mavericks, but this is going to be a very tough, and I'm going to call it right now, and this may surprise a lot of people, Mavs win this series 4-1.
Okay.
Very tough 5 games, but the Mavs will win the series 4-1.
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like I also am picking Mavs over Minnesota. And it's honestly, it's because Kyrie is just, he's done this shit. He's been here. He's got the blueprint. He's got the experience. Luka by himself is a superstar. You know that. And Minnesota, yes, they've got some real pieces there. Obviously, it's working for them. Other than a couple of miracle games they had to really pull out here. But Dallas overall, I think, is a tougher matchup for Minnesota than I'm even willing to admit. And that's why it's going to be me picking Dallas. I'm going to say 6 games just because Minnesota's scrappy as fuck. They've shown they can win when it counts. But I do like Dallas a little bit more than Minnesota, which sours me on the finals just because I'm not a Dallas guy at all. So we get Dallas and Boston. That's a snore for me, but I understand with the remaining 4 teams here, I'm not really getting any combination I care too much about. What I do like, though, is that out of these 4 teams, someone's getting their first championship, one of these like superstar players. That's cool. So like,
and three of the 4 quote unquote Mount Rushmore players that we spoke about a couple weeks ago playing still. JT, Luka, and
boom. Big time. So I like that. This is a Final Four for like the future of the NBA. So I'm really liking the guys who are left here. We'll see how it fucking goes, though. Mavs pulled ahead, 106 to 102, 17 seconds left. So we'll see how they close out there.
Last point I wanted to make, CJ.
Oh, yes,
we
please.
We speak about Minnesota's defense, but Dallas.
Ah.
The Dallas Mavericks, over the last quarter of the season, had the number 1 defensive rating in the league.
Damn. That's pretty crazy. I guess I never really thought about that.
We rave about Minnesota's defense, but Dallas can do it too.
That's key. That's pretty crucial then. So, shit. Good 2 good defenses against each other. That's okay. I like that. Gonna make a very spicy season. Spicy series, excuse me. In the meantime, while we wait for the results of that game, this man wanted to put a little final message and point about one Mr. Bronny James, the son of the illustrious LeBron James. I'm not going to call him the GOAT like I know you want me to, but the illustrious, the infamous LeBron James, his son, in the NBA Combine, actually ended up with a pretty decent day, even though he started out a little rough. But what are your thoughts on Bronny James and the prospects of him going to the NBA? We talked about it a little bit, just what we thought he should do and shouldn't do. But I know you got some more things to get off your chest about Bronny. So what you got, sir?
Yeah. First of all, I just wanted to say Bronny has done nothing but good things for himself during this pre-draft process. He's played very well during the scrimmages at the combine, during the drills. He's looked very competent as a NBA player. So he's done a lot of good things for himself. And I say that to say these grown men on social media,
oh boy,
need to find themselves a hobby. Because they, at the end of the day, those grown men on social media are hating on a 19-year-old kid,
yeah,
who's just trying to live out his dreams. They're praying for this man's downfall, all because his dad is LeBron James.
It's the only reason.
If you take the name away and look at Bronny, the basketball player, just from the pre-draft process, he's going to get drafted.
Oh, yeah. It's going to happen.
He's an NBA player. Probably second round.
Yeah.
But he's an NBA player right now.
There you go.
And so just because I feel like he should go back to school for one more year.
Agreed.
Continue to develop. Come out next year and be a lotto, like top 15, top 14 pick.
That's the
move, because
I think
he should do that.
Right.
Doesn't mean, like, I think it's a bad idea to enter the draft now.
Oh, sure.
The sooner you can get some money and go pro, the better. Power to you. And I say that to say these grown men need to stop fucking hating on the kid. Because the kid is just trying to live out his dreams. Something you're probably upset at yourself about because you never did that.
Woo! Tell him. Tell him.
So let the young man live. Let him breathe. Let him do him. And don't judge him by his father's legacy.
Please don't. That's
the most unfair thing you can do to somebody. Everyone is their own person. Just because that's his dad doesn't mean he's going to be as good or better than his dad.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, let him decide who he's going to be.
Ask Michael Jordan's kids.
Yeah. Just the last time, before you heard of Marcus Jordan, right? Yeah, Marcus Jordan dating fucking Larsa Pimpin. You ain't hear nothing from him.
Nothing. You didn't know he existed. So.
No.
He ain't a baller. But he probably can't even shoot. So. Although Larsa Pippen is a hell of a shot, that's all I'm gonna say. But
it's he made that shot out. For
he made that shot, but that's the one. That's the one shot he got. No, I definitely agree. I need to touch grass. I need to stop hating on him. Stop hating on Caitlin Clark. Stop hating on the WNBA. Just stop hating. And I'm saying that as a hater. Quit hating all the time. Y'all hate too damn much. I always got something to hate about. At least when I hate on shit, it's creative and imaginative, and I'm doing it tongue-in-cheek. When y'all hate, y'all be, like, saying some nasty shit. You be saying some cantankerous-ass bullshit. And these are teenagers. These are kids. And you're like, I'm going to come to your house and fucking, you know, smash your fucking car. You're like, what? He's a basketball player. Like, leave the boy alone. Let him just do his thing. He'll be just fine. Even if he's not even half the basketball player his dad was, he's still going to have a good career, make a decent amount of money, and be set for life. Like, what's the problem? They can't all be Mike. I know I'm rocking that shit today. They can't all be Mike, but he can damn sure be a decent player. Look at the Ball family. I thought they're all going to suck coming in the NBA too. Some of them actually turned out pretty good. So you just never know. You never know. Let the boy breathe. He'll get his game how it's supposed to be and go from there. We'll see how his career turns out. That's all you got to do. I think it's time for a commercial break, sir.
Oh, yeah.
From one of our unofficial sponsors.
Let's give a word to one of our unofficial sponsors. So today I was supposed to give a sponsor shout out to, you know, our sponsor Stick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, you know, I'm going to pivot because I lost it. So I lost it. So I can't show you anything like visually. So today my sponsor is Four Roses.
Hey, that's a good one too.
Yes. Four Roses. Have you ever been at the crib chilling on the lo-fi and just wanted something to drink that's not too hard, but still has good flavor and potency in it?
I do want that.
Yeah. Well, let me direct you to nowhere further than the Four Roses. You get that good old Irish whiskey flavor. You get nice little sweetness. You get a nice hint of spice. You get a nice balance of flavors within this, whether you want to mix it up with your favorite soda or a lemonade, get you a nice little whiskey sour, or just sip it over the rocks. Or better yet, sip that shit room temperature. Whatever the case may be, Four Roses is going to have you covered in all four corners. So go to your local liquor store, pick you up a nice little Four Roses, pour you up a drink, have you a good night, smoke you a cigar. There you go.
Woo!
That's Ho Vibes.
Unofficial sponsor. One thing about that, that's not an Irish whiskey, sir. That's a bourbon straight from Kentucky. Definitely not from the Isles, but close enough.
You know what I'm saying? I had a, you know what I'm saying? I had to beef it up a little bit. I know it's from Kentucky. I know.
The beautiful cliffs, the cliff sides of
Kentucky. It says bourbon whiskey right on the fucking,
right
on the fucking thing.
That comes from here, bro. That's a American thing. That's one of the one things we can do right.
Alcohol.
Yes, absolutely. I love it. All right. One of our last segments of the night before we draft our next Madden teams for another round. Yeah, I come up with a name for that game, by the way. It's easier for me to condense it down instead of Madden fantasy team game scenario simulation. See, it doesn't really flow.
I'll think of something.
Think of a name for that one.
Yeah.
Well, we got some fan mail. Another edition of the fan mail that we can answer a question to the best of our ability, even though we are not experts here. But we did get a message that they would like us to discuss on the show, get our opinions for it. So I will read it to the best of my ability, and then we will discuss and see what your opinion happens to be on this one. Are you ready, sir?
Let's get it.
Okay. So I have a scenario I'm currently living out, and I would love the Bank Bros' opinion on it if you're able to squeeze it into the next episode. It's kind of long. We got time, sir. I need to know if I'm the asshole in the situation. Imagine it's your daughter's birthday. You don't have much planned outside of some small gifts because you're trying to save money for your wedding and get caught up on bills. I get that. Unfortunately for you, that day you work from 8 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon. You get a surprise message saying that on one of your breaks, your mom is going to come by so you can spend 15 minutes with her and your daughter. Suddenly, you don't get any messages and no one shows up. You ask about it, and she says that apparently they're going over to her parents instead. You say, cool, you just put your break off, thinking when there's time, they'll still swing by. Around 2, you ask if they're coming or not. Finds out they're not coming. So you think to yourself, all right, well, my daughter loves Culver's. We love Culver's around here. If you're not from the Midwest, man, you might get you some Culver's, bro. Ask somebody about it. Her mom and I can take her, and she can get a meal and a dessert, and we'll just get drinks, not spend too much money. You then find out that your soon-to-be in-laws decide to take her to Culver's for lunch for her birthday. Oof. Nah, no one wants thinking that maybe, just maybe, her father would have loved to share that moment with her as well. You get pretty heated, and I mean heated, because the first plan went up in smoke because someone else decided to plan your daughter's day. Your second idea happened without you, and with no one even considering that you might want to be there. So it should be done as dinner instead of lunch. So you decide to spend money that you don't technically have because it should be getting saved, and get 2 Nintendo Switch games that you can play with her and take her to Chili's for dinner. Now the in-laws are mad because that was money that should have gone somewhere else and are taking it out on your other half because they won't confront you about being the problem. Am I the asshole for being pissed and ready to essentially start a war over this? Or do I have every right for doing what I did after feeling like I got robbed of everything I wanted to do with my daughter on her birthday? Now, that's a lot to unpack. And you are not a father, but I'm definitely interested in how you would handle this situation for our fan here.
Hold on, man. First, let me drink to that.
You drink a little bit to that, yes. That is a lot to unpack there.
That is a lot to unpack. All right. His question was, is he the asshole in this situation?
Right.
Absolutely not. I don't think so.
No. I don't think so.
Even though plans got ruined, I'm not going to say your name just to protect your, you know.
Of course.
My friend. I'll just say my friend.
There you go.
You know, the original plans you had went out the window. You pivoted. You did what you could as a father to spend this time with your daughter as, there's not even a word for it, as with like the most quality possible. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
yeah, I get that.
Quality time with your daughter.
Yeah, make it as special as possible.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So no, you're not an asshole in this case. I mean, if your in-laws are going to get mad over that, it's like, well, I mean, if I'm you, This is if I'm you. I know not too many people think the way I think, which is fine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if your in-laws are going to get mad over that, I wouldn't even bat an eye. I wouldn't even pay it no mind. Because if they can't see that you're just trying to do something for your daughter, then maybe the issue lies within them.
Because
the money should be saved saved up towards your wedding.
Sure.
But again, it's your daughter's birthday. Plan A went out the window. You had to quickly pivot to plan B. So don't beat yourself up over it.
Right.
Now, I would have handled that a little differently because I personally would not have gotten mad that my in-laws or soon-to-be in-laws took my daughter out to Culver's where I wanted to take her because I know she loves Culver's.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have been mad. I would have still kept a positive attitude and probably still did the same thing you would have done because in my eyes, I always look at it. Well, now I do. I look at things from like big perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I try to be as positive as possible when looking at a situation. You know, I would have looked at it like, oh, you know, my in-laws are actually looking out for me and taking mm-hmm. my daughter out. Even though I'm not there, I appreciate them doing that because that's exactly what I wanted to do for her.
Right.
And since this is my thinking again, and since they already done that, hey, I'll just do this. I'll go get her some Switch games. We could play some Switch games together.
Exactly.
Who doesn't like playing video games?
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean? I would have just been a little more positive about the situation, but overall, you are not the asshole.
Mm. I 100% agree with that. And as a father, I'm trying to put myself in the situation that he was in and just saying like, hey, what would I have done? I totally agree. I get the frustration. I get why you're angry, especially as a dad. I put so much stock into surprising my kids. And I know it's to a detriment too, because to me, it's like this, and I mentioned before, there's so little magic in the world. There's so little joy. So me being able to like put a day together and not let my kids know any details about it, because they need to know everything at all given hours of the day. They literally wake me up, ask me details about the day, and I go away, I don't even care. Like, but in my head, it's because I've already had it planned out and I want to surprise them with shit because I love the look on their faces. So I get why he would have so much invested in trying to make that to a special day for his daughter. I'll put it this way, especially when it comes to in-laws and where this man, you know, about to get married and things like that. When he specifically said he's ready to essentially start a war over this, that's where I go, pump the brakes, bro. Take a deep breath. These are your future in-laws. You really, really don't want to go into a marriage beefing with the in-laws, especially about something like this. Not to diminish your daughter's birthday, because it's a very special day. It sucks to say, because it sounds cliche and everything. Hey, bars. She's not going to remember that all this behind-the-scenes shit happened. She's only going to remember, I had a birthday where I got taken to Culver's. That's it. So the fact that he's breaking his neck trying to make this special day for her, at the end of the day, she's not even going to know you did all that. All she cares about is who's there, who's not there. So if you bought a couple Switch games and you want to take her to Chili's, like, she'll remember that. That's what's important. She won't remember the fact that you had two other plans get canceled and it started a whole thing. What she will remember is you arguing with grandma at your wedding because you didn't let this beef settle and you brought this shit into what's supposed to be a very special day, but shit like this will linger. Your daughter will remember daddy and grandma and grandpa fighting about something. Mm-hmm. Maybe not all the details behind it, but I can tell you this isn't even fucking worth it. It's just not worth it. And for them to be mad about him saving money and should go somewhere else and should go to the wedding, should go two Switch games is $120. It's ridiculous, but it's $120. A dinner at Chili's, what, 30? If you're feeling froggy, get a dessert. Let's call it 40 to 50. So about 150 to $170.
Under 200 bucks.
Under 200. Are you kidding? That is so cheap for a birthday. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean it in a very good way. Like,
yeah.
If that's what he knows he can afford and that's what he wants to do for his daughter's birthday, that's great. That sounds like a great fucking way. Especially if she started with Culver's. And then she gets to play video games. And then she gets to go to Chili's. Like, what? That's a fun fucking birthday. You can take me to that shit. I'll have a good time. That sounds like a great day. So at the end of the day, bro, just that's where your energy really should be, is just your section of her birthday is what really matters to you. That should be it. As far as it goes. Yes, I'll admit you got a little robbed. I will say just from reading everything on the story, clearly it wasn't intentional. It's not like they were trying to box you out of her birthday. You had to work. And luckily, your daughter has a bunch of loved ones who ensured that she was still going to have a great birthday. That's a good thing. Like you said, I wouldn't mind that at all if people took the reins and are helping me out and making sure that my kids have a great birthday because I have to be at work. That's cool. That's a good thing. So I get it. It's hard to put the ego aside and your pride's a little hurt because they're kind of stepping on toes a little bit. It's not enough for you to start a war about. I wouldn't let that shit simmer another fucking day. That's wasted energy. And you got much bigger fish to fry over the next year or so, bro. So, yeah, pick your battles. It's one of the best lessons you can learn as a husband and as a father. Pick your fucking battles. This is a battle that I don't think you need to fight. I just don't think you do.
I don't even think there should be a battle here.
Nope. This was a miscommunication at worst. And I think you move on. Take her to Culver's the next day. Who cares? Like, she's not going to care. If you took her the next 3 days, she won't care. She just knows she's going to Culver's. That's all that matters.
Yep, exactly.
It's all that fucking matters. All right. Last but not least, we got more teams to pick out. Do another round of this fucking fantasy. Because now that I know what we're doing, I'm a little more ready. And I know I only lost by one, but I need redemption. Oh, look at that. Mavericks officially beat the Timberwolves in game one. They're up 1-0, just like you said. But congratulations, Dallas. We'll see you in game two. I think I need your little spinny wheel thing again, don't I?
Yeah, the same one should work.
Let's go. And
now, since you lost, I'll give you the option. You want offense again or you want defense?
I'm going offense again.
All right, sounds good.
I'm going offense again. I know it's going to bite me in the ass, but now that I'm a little more aware of what I'm doing, I know I can put together a better offense than I had. That's all there is. Why is he frozen? Oh, there you are.
Okay.
I think you were frozen for a second.
Thank God that wasn't too long. All right.
Okay. Let me find your spinny wheel again. No, that was. How am I that far back? What day was that? The 15th.
That was last week, Wednesday.
That was last week. I think I just scrolled by without saying anything. There it is.
Boom.
I think it's all here. Let's see. 1, 2. There's another. Okay. We are good. Let me share my screen.
All right. All right. So as you people know, we played this game last week. CJ is going to hit spin. It's going to land on an NFL team, and we will pick a specific position based on the side of the football we chose. CJ chose offense. I chose defense. And we will pick one player from that team to be on our team.
Got it. And then I'm just putting it down. LTLG center. GRT. Perfect. Okay. I am ready. Are you ready, sir?
Let's get it, man. You got the first pick.
This better work out for me better this time. Seahawks. I play this one a little bit smarter now. So I'm like,
okay.
Oh, God.
Okay.
I don't know if I want to jump right to it. Fell for this last time. Okay. Give me Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Ooh, you want JSN. Okay.
Yeah. I got to think hard about this one. Okay.
You want JSN? I'm going to take
Devin Witherspoon again. Of course you are.
I'm gonna take Witherspoon again, man.
Why wouldn't you?
Man, he's just the perfect nickel corner, man. I'm taking Devin Witherspoon.
Fucking hell, man. All right. I know he's gonna get you another 8 picks. I already know it, but it's okay. All right.
He's gonna play nickel. All right. Ooh,
I like the Chargers.
I do too.
All right. This is going to be interesting. Let me get, you know what? Give me Joe Alt.
Joe Alt. Wow.
Let's go.
Okay. I kind of like that pick, to be honest.
Oh, they got Joe Alt at right tackle.
Right tackle? Okay. Right tackle. Chargers defense.
Fuck. There's so many good picks here.
I'm going to wait for an edge rusher, and I'm going to go
Derwin James. I already knew it.
Yep, strong safety, Derwin James.
Fucking knew it. I'm already getting smoked here. Fucking Witherspoon and Derwin James. God damn it.
Hey, I'm going to build a secondary. Yeah, as you could tell, I'm a secondary type of guy.
Oh, I know it. Yeah. I'm a skill position guy. That's what I'm like. I need my receivers. But
yeah.
You get the Panthers again. I swear to God. Oh, it's so annoying. It's so annoying. Okay, it's fine. It's fine. I'm not picking the same dude as last time. Why is he frozen again? It's my internet again. Shit. There we go. There.
All right, bet. I know who I'm going with. Are you going to go with who I think
you're
going to go
with? I'm not doing that again. That's just not going to happen. Oh, God. Why does it have to be the Panthers, bro?
Are you going to take Adam Thielen?
No, God,
Xavier no. Xavier Leggett?
No.
Bryce Young?
No, fuck that. Give me Robert Hunt.
Robert Hunt.
Yep.
O-lineman?
Yeah, right guard. Damn. Fucking okay. Panthers, bro.
Well, the guy I'm picking is going to be placed right above where that right guard Robert Hunt is playing. I'm taking defensive tackle Derrick Brown.
God. Stupid Panthers. Got me both times.
You should have picked Bryce Young.
Weak ass. No, man. It's not happening. I'm holding out for a decent quarterback here.
Oh, Jordan Love. There you go.
I'm saying. Then Jordan Love falls here. I don't know if I want Jordan Love, though. Let me see. It's hard when it comes to the Green Bay Packers here.
I know who I'm picking.
Do you know?
I really do. You're going to call another O-lineman?
I'm thinking because it's Green Bay. So, like, if there's O-lineman available, it's usually going to be good on Green Bay.
Yeah.
Give me Rashid Walker, left tackle.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you. I really didn't want you to pick Elton Jenkins.
Yeah, I thought about it. But I'm hoping I get a better left guard somewhere else than I'm aiming for. So that's what I'm like. But that was exactly what I was looking at the whole time. I was like, oh, Jenkins.
Elton Jenkins. This pick is very easy for me. I'm going to go ahead and pick Jair Alexander.
Of course you are, because I'm going to get smoked even worse this round because of these teams I'm getting. Fucking sucks.
The secondary.
Ah, what happened?
Naughty, nice. Ooh.
Whoa.
What the hell happened there? That wasn't my wheel.
Your wheel.
Is this yours or Rachel's?
Definitely not mine. That's so weird. Why did it do that?
Whoa. Is that another window?
No, it's the same one.
Cut it. Oh, man.
I'm going to go back to your link real quick. Give me 1 second. That's so weird. Jeez. Okay. I got it back.
All right.
If we get the same themes, I'll just skip them.
All right. Let's go ahead and get it then.
All right. There we go.
Bet. So the pick is on you. It's round 5, about midway point.
The Commanders. Okay.
Jaden Daniels.
I'm considering it.
Terry McLaurin.
I like Scary Terry, but oh, I don't know.
I know who I'm picking.
Give me Austin Ekeler.
Austin Ekeler. Wow.
Yep. Sticking with it.
Running back, Austin Ekeler. Okay. I'm going to take defensive tackle, Jonathan Allen.
I am going to get decimated in these fucking games. I already know it. God.
Oh, my Lord. My defense is looking amazing.
I am hurting on this offense so far. I need some teams with some real skill position players, please. Yeah, give me Ravens, baby. Now we're talking.
Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, Lamar Jackson. Let's go.
He just saved your entire team.
Thank you, God. Oh, I needed that.
Lamar Jackson, quarterback.
Thank you.
I'm going to take your boy, middle linebacker, Roquan Smith.
You son of a bitch. How dare you? How dare you say a name in my presence?
Roquan.
That's such a disgusting defense you have already. It's not even fair.
Already? Oh, I'm just waiting for my edge rushers, man.
Oh, my God. I'm terrified already. Watch me win this just because.
It makes no sense.
No sense. Oh, it's the Bears.
Okay, you can have some fun with this one.
I really could now.
Keenan?
That's a possibility.
DJ, one of the receivers. Got to be one of the receivers.
Yeah, the way it's going.
You don't want Nate Davis.
No, I definitely do not. That shit was ridiculous. Yeah, give me Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen, good pick right here.
Yeah. I like it.
All right. Give me Montez Sweat.
Oh, God.
Defensive end.
Jonathan Allen. Are you kidding? Roquan Smith. Like, come on.
Montez Sweat.
Just nasty. Nasty defense.
There we go. We talking.
This is working so much better for you.
49ers. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You got options here?
Oh, I shouldn't have taken Eckler. I could have had McCaffrey here.
You could have had CMC.
Mother of God.
Bro, you could have had Trent Williams.
I know.
But there's
so
one guy
sad.
I think that's the easy pick for you.
You say easier, but I'm down to two guys, actually. And I was like, actually, three.
Yeah, I can see three. I'm not going to help you, but.
I know. Don't help me. It's fucking painful. Give me George Kittle.
Yep. That was the guy I was leaning to.
Yeah.
Towards.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to get a better tight end anywhere on this fucking board. So
I don't believe so.
I got to go with that.
Respect that. I'm going to take Nick Bosa.
Oh, I was like, who from this treasure trove of defensive players are you going to take to smash my team in 30 different ways? Oh, okay.
Nick Bosa. How
Let's
about
add
that?
Bosa to this disgusting lineup you've got. Unbelievable.
Nick Bosa.
How did this turn into such a fucking ace draft for you? God.
The worst player I have is probably Derek Brown.
Right. That's the worst. It was Panthers again, by the way. That's why I moved.
Yeah, I saw.
But that shit's insane. That's absolutely insane.
And we get
Adrian again. Well, I can't pick Hunter Henry this time. Thank God for that. So, Jesus Christ. This is absolute dog shit.
I know where I'm going.
I guess. Give me Cole Strange because his name is Strange.
Cole Strange.
Left guard.
Okay. I'm going to take, I want to say Kyle Duggar again, but I took him last time. I'm going to take a different player this time. I'm going to take cornerback rookie Christian Gonzalez.
That's a good pick. Son of a bitch. God.
Gonzo.
All right. Only a couple more picks here. What do you got? Two left?
10, 11. Yep. Two left.
The Aints. Otherwise known as the Saints.
Yes, sir. I know who I'm taking.
Oh, fuck. God. What happened to this team? Good Lord.
I mean, you could use another receiver.
I know. I'm definitely looking for a third here, but I already took Olave last time, and the other two, I'm like, no. Give me Eric McCoy.
Wow. Center?
Yep. This busted-ass line is going to ride again, but I'm holding out hope for one more elite receiver here.
All right. Well, I'm going to take free safety, Tyrann Honey Badger Massey.
Unbelievable. This fucking all Madden defense you've got. Oh, my God.
It's working out perfectly, man.
Come on, baby. Give me a good team left here.
I just need
a receiver.
I need one linebacker or sub safety.
Oh, the Lions. Please be Lions. Let's go.
This stacked-ass roster.
Yes. It paid off at the end for me. Woo! Oh, man. Thank you, St. Brown.
You're taking Amon-Ra?
Of course I am. Oh, man. That's huge. That's huge.
Oh, man. So you got Lamar with Keenan, Amon-Ra, Kittle, and JSN. That's actually pretty good.
Eckler as a running back, too.
Eckler as your back, yeah. That's pretty good.
Like, again, not bad skill-wise. Just that damn line.
Fucking O-line.
I can't build a fucking O-line to save my life this way.
Oh, man. Your O-line is going to get completely destroyed. God damn.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what's the defensive player you picked for the Lions?
I am actually going to take safety / nickel corner / linebacker, Brian Branch.
Oh, boy. Your boy.
My boy.
That's insane. I can't believe I ended up with a shitty offensive line again. I think it's just my luck. I am just cursed to always have shitty offensive lines, whether I'm playing, whether it's fantasy, whether it's my real team, shitty offensive lines, no matter what. It's my lot in life. It's the fucking worst. Man.
Yeah, you're obviously O-line for you is a big weakness because skill position-wise, I think you're pretty good.
Yeah, it rallied. I was worried, and then it rallied at the end, so... I'll take
fucking
that shit.
Lions. You got fucking St. Brown. Wow.
Clutch last pick. Yeah. Mr. Irrelevant. Love it.
Yeah. Hell yeah. God. Man, we got some good matchups going, man. Obviously, my defensive ends, Sweat and Bosa, they're going to dominate.
I think you somehow you have a better defense this time than you did the first time. It's insane.
I agree with that. I 100% wholeheartedly believe that.
I know. It's impossible. It's I don't know how you even pulled that off. Just. The teams you ended up with. I'm like, how? They're all defensive stars. Like, bullshit. Then I get the Panthers, and they're skill position players of the Panthers. The fuck out of here.
Miles Sanders.
Miles Sanders. He's not even on the team anymore, is he?
I don't know.
Exactly. Who cares? Fucking Sanders. Oh, my God. Give some last words for your adoring fans, sir.
Last words. Shout out to Alexander Usyk for winning the undisputed heavyweight title. Amazing yes, fight. One for the ages. In a division, the heavyweight division that is lacking in today's boxing world. 100%. This is a fight to remember. Tyson Fury came out and dominated this fight early with his jab, body shots, that right uppercut. Ooh, deadly. Usyk rallied, showed his heart, caught Fury, almost finished him with a, I believe it was like a right hook, left hook combination, had him on the ropes, ref saved him. Usyk ended up pulling this fight out in the decision after 12 rounds. Shout out to Usyk for surprisingly proving the world wrong, but I had him winning this fight. I put money on him.
Nice. How much you win?
Not that much because he was only like -105.
Oh well. Yeah. Free money.
Yeah. I only won like $150, but $150 shit. $100.
That's bar tab, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah. Those are my last words, man.
Not bad.
Shout out to that. Those two men, because they keep him boxing alive, especially in the weak heavyweight division nowadays.
Oh yeah. And you know, Fury's been on top a long time and we all love Tyson Fury, but like, you know, you could tell. The last fight he was in, this fight, like, writing's on the wall. I don't know if retirement is – I know he tried retiring before and he kind of came back, but, like, he might be getting close to the end here. So, we'll see. Usyk, I also had him winning that one, too. Like, this the guy's an animal, even machine. So, he does this. Just like we talk about drinking goat milk out in the Himalayas and shit in the UFC. Usyk's that kind of same cloth, too. He's cut from the same shit. So,
oh, yeah.
Not surprised. Good to see him.
Yep.
Hell yeah. So, you know, make sure you guys come see us next time too. We don't have any goat milk around here, just whiskey, but we'll be plenty more of it next week when we get our results for another Madden fantasy simulation. Name is in working condition. So once we get that going, next week, make sure you check us. We'll have some more shots going, some more sports news, maybe some more relationship advice. We'll see if the mailbox fills up again because you never know. On the Bank Bro Show. I got bars for days today, I'm telling you. My God. Make sure you hit those likes, subscribes, those follows on all of our social media. That's The Bank Bro Show on YouTube, Facebook, and gmail.com. We are at Bank Bro Show on Instagram. Check us out. Plenty of new shit coming. Again, we say it every week, but it's because it's actually coming. You know, we got things going on too. But we'll get to you. Don't you worry. It's going to be worth the wait. We guarantee it. Because he didn't pay us any money for it. So no money back guarantee there installed at all. God. In the meantime, you know what it is. Bank Bros are in your city. We are here for you as we always are. And you can bank on it. We will see you next week on the Bank Bros Show. Peace.
1, 2, 3. Fuck boy.